When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. Now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Peace of God be with you, Father Mitchell Pacwa. And we're here to study the New Age movement and some of its basic principles. We've looked at the shifts in paradigm, that is, shifts in the ways of looking at the world and structuring the world. We'd like to take a look at a few more of their shifts and how they come up with new views of reality that lead to all sorts of ramifications in terms of religion, politics, education, and so on. One of the most important influences in the New Age movement is that of brain research. Now, this is introduced to the New Age movement primarily through Marilyn Ferguson. In her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, Ms. Ferguson spent a good deal of time reading about research on the brain by various biologists and doctors, neurologists, and so on. And she would read a lot about what they had to say in the professional research and in professional journals. And then took that information and began to apply it to the New Age movement and say, aha, there are lots of ramifications that are important for our way of viewing reality. One of the things that she is focused on the most in her literature is that of the split brain phenomenon. Back in the 1930s, people who had epilepsy were helped in many cases by separating the two halves of the brain. See, the brain is about the size of a couple of fists, okay? And it has two roughly similar hemispheres. Now, half the brain here, half the brain here. And in between those hemispheres is a connecting set of neurons and to get the two brains working together called the corpus callosum. And a number of people who were epileptic were helped when this was severed, that doctors would go in and cut the two right down the middle. Now, that didn't, you know, make them stupid or anything. It wasn't like cutting off part of the brain in the front. But instead, it stopped a lot of the epileptic fits, and it also, in the epileptic episodes, and it also had some interesting influence on the way they behaved. Some of the things noticed were that on the left side of the brain, we find the control for the right side of the body. And at the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. Unless, of course, you're left-handed. Okay, then it's just the opposite. So there's a switch that goes on. And this is very helpful to understand. And when people have brain damage on one side of the brain, it affects this side of their body and so on. But other things were noticed. For instance, people who were working with a tool, they would know exactly how to use a hammer or some other tool. And as they did so, they would use it correctly and so on, but they couldn't tell you the name of the tool. Now, from those behaviors and many other behaviors, the split-brain people were studied and shown that on the left side of the brain, again, except for left-handed people, but for most of us, on the left side of the brain is what controls our ability to reason, to think one step at a time, to take things apart and understand the parts. Our ability to speak and use grammar and correctly form sentences and use words, that's left side of the brain. So thinking, reasoning, and so on. The right side of the brain was shown to be associated with the ability to be intuitive and creative and artistic. Let's take a look and see what some of the things that Marilyn Ferguson has described. Now, she starts off with a very important principle, and something that a neurologist friend of mine, Dr. Thomas Grabowski, in Boston, Massachusetts, says that the brain's right and left hemispheres interact all the time. That's correct. That, see, the separation of the corpus callosum, the connectors between the two sides of the brain, only when you cut that can you see that the right brain acts sort of on its own and the left brain on its own. But in normal people who do not have the corpus callosum separated, the two sides of the brain are constantly interacting. They're always working together. And she says they interact all the time, but each also has certain functions of its own. The specialized functions of the hemispheres were first observed in the effects of injuries confined to one side of the brain. And then other more sophisticated techniques to detect the differences. Now, she also says that the hemispheres can operate independently as two separate centers of consciousness. And the split brain patient indeed proved to have two minds capable of independent functioning. Now, here's where the New Agers have a problem. And again, I'm quoting from Marilyn Ferguson. She says, "We tend to identify the I, not eyeball, but I, who I am. Okay? We tend to identify the I with the verbal left brain and its operations. The left hemisphere essentially controls speech. It adds, subtracts, hyphenates, measures, compartmentalizes, organizes, names, pigeonholes, and watches clocks." So that's the left side of the brain. And she says that we tend to identify our personality with the left side and our ability to speak. Although the right hemisphere has little control over the speech mechanism, it understands language in some way and gives our speech its emotional inflection. The right hemisphere is more musical and sexual than the left. It thinks in images, sees in wholes, that is, whole, you know, experiences, detects patterns. It seems to mediate pain more intensely than the left. The right brain tunes information. The left brain fits it in. The left deals with the past, matching the experience of this moment to earlier experience, trying to categorize it. The right hemisphere responds to novelty, the unknown. The right brain makes visual closure. That is, it can identify a shape suggested by only a few lines. The right brain completes the gestalt. Gestalt is a German word meaning whole. It is whole-making and holistic. Now, you see how she characterizes right and left brain, and that there are two different functions, and she wants to have us use both sides of the brains in a holistic way. But there are a lot more ramifications of her ideas about the right side and left side of the brain, and we'll come back in just a moment to examine them. Look at the human brain and this difference between the right side and the left side. Let me give another quote, a shorter one, from Marilyn Ferguson about these two different sides and her perspective on it. She says that for both cultural and biological reasons, the left brain seems to dominate awareness in most of us. Without benefit of a scalpel, we perform split-brain surgery on ourselves. We isolate heart, and mind. Now, this is where some of the New Agers see a problem. We talked about this in our last episode, in the criticism of physics, where physics separated and isolated different elements according to the Newtonian view of life, and that this separation and isolation is something that New Agers see as a problem, because we don't see the whole picture. And that's because we have this left side focus. We don't think enough in terms of the right brain, which sees things as a whole. Now, what does she want to do? Marilyn Ferguson says, again, I quote from Aquarian Conspiracy, "The joining of the two minds creates something new. Whole brain knowing is far more than the sum of its parts and different from either." So she says that what we need to learn how to do is have the whole brain work together instead of have the two hemispheres work separately. As a matter of fact, she goes on to say in regard to Hermann Hesse, who wrote a number of novels from the perspective of the psychologist Carl Gustav Jung. And she says that the great theme pervading Hesse's novels is the escape from the prison of the two minds, the task of transformation. In other words, she sees that we have to have a transformation of the way we think so that the left side and the right side work together. See, let me go on and describe this task that she sets before us. Again, quoting from Aquarian Conspiracy, "Beyond the personal reunification, the inner reconnection, the re-annexing of lost portions of oneself, there's then the connection to an even larger self." So, aha, we see the first step for her is to connect the right side of the brain with the left side of the brain and get them to work holistically. And then after you get those connected, the next step is the connection with the larger self, and she capitalizes this self. And what does she mean by this larger self? Okay, she goes on to explain. "This invisible continent on which we all make our home." So she talks about a larger self that's like a continent in which we live. The separate self, with a small s, that is, the person, is an illusion. So what you think about yourself is an illusory thing. The self is a field within larger fields. When the self joins the self, there's power. In other words, when the small self joins the continental self, the big self, then there is power. Now, she's going to go and say that once we get beyond left brain thinking and see the whole brain, and then you make the jump and see that there's a whole self, that is, this is where she gets into a larger self that is God, of which we're part. That we shouldn't see ourselves as separate little selves, but really that we are part of this whole self, that your idea of your own personality, of yourself, is an illusion. And it's because you're thinking too much in the left brain, which isolates, separates, and sees the parts. Don't think of yourself as a part. That's really an illusion. Now, this sets the stage for starting to think of the left brain as illusory. And this becomes a problem. And that instead you should see yourself as in a field of self. That is, there's this big personality that is divine. And we're all part of this divine underneath the reality. So you see how she's jumped from left brain, right brain, you know, biology into metaphysics. That is, what is the nature of reality? What is the nature of being? Now, people who are doing brain research, neurologists and others, don't make that jump from the difference between the right brain and the left brain, then the need for the brain to unite with the whole self, that is the self that is this continent, that is this underlying reality. That's a jump that's not necessary. And as a matter of fact, in my discussions with my friend Dr. Grabowski, who's a neurologist, I've learned a lot more. As a matter of fact, from one of the priests in my community is into neuropsychology. He teaches neuropsych. And they and others have told me the same thing, that first of all, you don't have to try to get your brain to work as two cells working together. You don't have to work at it. In fact, your brain is always working the two different sides together. They're constantly in communication. And the idea that this self is divided into these two sides is saying too much. That's not what brain researchers are emphasizing. As a matter of fact, my friend Dr. Grabowski was telling me that, he's surprised at this big emphasis on the two hemispheres. It's there, it's real, but you can't isolate it so strongly. And let me give you a couple examples of what I mean. First of all, we have to realize that all of us are constantly using the two sides of the brain. Maybe there's dominance of one side and the other, and we can do exercises to become more creative, to be sure. But in fact, there's some things that I can explain to you very easily. For instance, I can talk about some of this brain, and I use a lot of words, and it's left side kind of information, which is fine. But at other times, I can also use images, like when I use my fist to explain the two sides of the brain. I can also take and show you this picture of the brain. We have a picture of what the brain looks like, and that helps you give an image. But some things I can't explain beyond the pictures, and I don't have left brain information on, just an intuitive sense. And this is true with all of us. I'll give an example from my own life. One of the things I like to do is play my mandolin, and that would be sort of right brain activity. But it took a lot of left brain activity to get me to learn the notes, where they are in the scale, how to understand music, how to learn songs. And then after I learned them, it sort of deals with me emotionally and deal with the whole song and that sort of right brain, but it depends on left brain behavior. But another aspect of it is I don't know how to teach the mandolin to others. Some people, that's a left brain activity in regard to the mandolin, I don't understand. Whereas some things I do, like playing sports, again, I have to learn, use my left brain to understand them. And I also have to, continue to grow and understand the sport with my left brain, but it also becomes right brain, and images. And some of it I can teach. Like I can teach racquetball to others. And there's a mixture. It's back and forth. And we should always understand that it is back and forth. We're going to come back and talk some more about the role of the brain and its structure. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We've been discussing the structure of the brain and the way New Agers are trying to use it to understand human personality and the nature of reality, the nature of God, and some of the limitations that I think exist in that New Age perspective. Let me show just, again, a little bit of what I know about the brain. I feel like Scarecrow if I only had a brain, in The Wizard of Oz. Sometimes it's you think I'd hum the song, but we'd probably have copyright laws. But the thing that we should see about the brain is, what can we learn from it? One thing is that instead of just taking a look at the two halves of the brain, that we should also understand that the brain has a side view as well. See, the two halves of the brain, the two hemispheres, are something you can notice when you look at the top of the brain. But look at this side picture. Here we have the brain stem, where the various nerves come into the body and connect from the spinal column into the brain itself. And some people emphasize that this is the earliest part of the brain, the most primitive, that deals with a number of our autonomic nervous system, things that happen just automatically. We see a second division, of the brain on top of it, which deals with a lot of emotional responses. And then this third cover, the gray matter that we so often talk about, that covers the brain, cerebellum, that this is the part where we do a lot of our thinking and our reasoning, and that this is another way to divide the brain. So it's not just in terms of the hemispheres, there are also the three divisions of it from top to bottom. And then we also need to realize that with the brain, that there are different sides or parts of the brain that control different parts of our body and our life. There are small parts of the brain that control our sex, small parts that control our speech, and these are identifiable. Our eyes, our ability to see, our where we experience our desire to defend ourselves and can be violent. That's another small part near the brainstem, as I recall. And I don't know all the details of it. I highly recommend, you know, studying more about the brain. But to see that the division to right side, left side is only one kind of division, and it's not in and of itself satisfactory. That there are many other divisions of the brain that also must be taken into account, and that these are part of the science of the brain. And to jump from, you know, the two sides of the brain, left side, right side, and say a lot more about the human personality and the nature of God than is legitimate, I think is a problem. As a matter of fact, one of the things I sometimes suspect, I'm not sure of this, but that some of the New Agers are focusing on the right side, left side, because it fits into their worldview. Rather than really giving support of it, it's one of the few things about the brain they can use. The other things are too complex, and the brain, again, like with physics, we know too little about brain research to make any kind of metaphysical statements. So we have to be much more cautious, at least according to the neuropsychologists and neurologists that I've spoken to. So let's keep that caution. Now, where does the incaution, the lack of caution, lead us? Now, this is not from Ferguson. I think Ferguson makes some jumps. It's my interpretation of her. But other people make even farther jumps. Some of the New Age writers have used this brain research in ways far, you know, more problematic, from my perspective, than Ferguson does. Let me give some quotations. For instance, Shirley MacLaine, you know, was speaking about herself and her director, Alan Johnson, in a book that she wrote called Dancing in the Light. And she says, and I quote, "We both allowed intelligence," which she has in, you know, in special print, "to block our free-flowing creativity. Alan was an intellectual, and we both knew what that meant to creativity. It meant blockage." And I say, wait a minute. Intelligence doesn't mean that you block creativity. As a matter of fact, in normal whole-brain thinking, the intelligence side, the left side of the brain, cooperates with the right side, and they work together. They're not opposed to each other. She goes on to say, "I had the same problem. The mind, with all its potential ramifications, was the great limiter. Our purpose in working together was to unblock the mind's limitations and just go for it. Once again, we would then agree that creativity required living in the moment. Too much thinking was simply a handicap." That's not true in terms of real thinking, you know, the way the brain actually works. Certain kinds of thinking may block certain kinds of creativity, but thinking is not the enemy. Let's take a look at another quote from Shirley MacLaine. "Just listen to your feelings and trust them. You are unlimited. You just don't realize it." Again, going from a lot of logical, illogical jumps in my perspective, that if you just listen to your feelings and trust them from the right side of the brain, and just go with that, then you won't be blocked. You won't have any limits. Well, that's not true. You're always going to have limits. You know, the right side of the brain can only see certain things too. It has its limits. And that's fine. And those limits complement what's on the left side of the brain. And we do the best we can with all the different faculties we have. But we're never going to be unlimited. We can always go beyond what we've learned before. But we're going to remain limited, and that's fine. Let's accept that. She goes on to make another jump and says, "The female energy was the yin energy, residing in the right hemisphere of the brain." See how she connects this with Taoism and the right side of the brain research. In Taoism, which is a Chinese philosophy, there's a strong belief that there are two energies in the world, yin and yang. Yin is feminine, yin is dark. Yang is light, yang is masculine. And then she applies that to the two sides of the brain. That's not exactly Taoism, it's her own interpretation as far as I understand it. But she says that the feminine energy was the yin energy, residing in the right hemisphere of the brain. It controlled the mystical, receptive, intuitive, artistic characteristics. The left hemisphere of the brain, the yang side, controlled assertive, logical, active, and linear characteristics. She's saying much more than even Marilyn Ferguson said, and much more than brain research allows. And then she goes on to apply it to acupuncture, which opens up the paths to the intuitive right brain area, the yin. And the left brain yang must not be permitted to close those paths. She sees the left side as the enemy of the right, and that there's this radical division that really doesn't exist. Instead, God has given us two different aspects and many different aspects. We should learn to integrate and work with both of them, develop our creativity, of course, and develop our reason, of course. Otherwise, it becomes impossible to have any discourse, any ability to have sharing, discussion, conversation, and learn from other people. Use all the gifts that God gives us, love them and cherish them, and use them to give greater glory to God who made them. God bless you, and see you next time.